Okay, there's two very important sugyas today. The first is the sugya about Ein Din in the Stira B'Kela, which has a lot to do with a lot of halakha l'maisa issues about opening packages on Shabbos. And the second is the Inyan of Muksa Machmas Chesar and Kis, the whole story with Ali. So in Kuf Chaf Beis, so the Gemara quotes a braisa that tells us you're allowed to take off the door of Shita Tev and Migdal. You have a cabinet, you're allowed to rip off the door. And that's brought in Shulchan Aruch. And it sounds like it's even lechatchila. It's a little shocking. First time you see the din, it's very strange that such a thing would actually be mutter. So why should that be mutter? Well, we would have thought it's got to be asr for something. So the Gemara tells us that there ain't been in the steer of the Kalim. Even though you can't break down a house on Shabbos, that's a avalacha of Soser, but Soser doesn't apply to Kalim. And therefore, even though you are being Soser the Kli, you are breaking the Kli by pulling off the door, but afal pikein, it's mutter, because it's a Kli, it's not connected to the ground, and therefore, it's mutter. This is a very important Shabbos, right? Very important. Every Shabbos, we probably use this heter. Every time we open up a package, or we break something open, on Shabbos, so the heter we're using could be is based on this yisod that there's no steer b'kalim, and since the package is a mechuba to the ground, there's no problem with breaking open the box, breaking open the bag. Now the Gemara says to put the door back on. The Gemara says that also be'emes should be mutter. You should be allowed to put a door back on the kli because it's steer b'kalim, but we were worried shema yitaka. Gemara says, maybe you'll be yitaka. Yitaka Rashi says, means maybe you'll bang it in with nails. Bang the door in with nails, so then that'll be asa, then you'll be chayiv. So the Gemara doesn't tell us for what. The Gemara just tells us, that's not putting the door back on the cabinet, it's mutter, except for the fear that you're going to use nails. So what's the problem if you use nails? The Gemara doesn't say. So Rashi says, very passion, ain't a chanami, ain't being mysterious of a kalim. So even if you bang on the door with nails, you're not being over an Eser Bona. So what are you being over? Why is this Aser? So it says Rashi is Aser because of Makav HaPatish. There's a different Eser, Makav HaPatish. Now, not so clear. So what? It's been Makav HaPatish, okay. So even though our Kli, there's no Binyan, but there is Makav HaPatish, but why, therefore, is it mutter to return the door? It says, when I tell you could return the door, the only problem of Makav HaPatish is if you connect it with nails. So what's the difference? What do we care if you connect with nails? Well, if you connect with nails, it's makav patish. If you just reinsert it, push it back in, into the grooves, so then it will be mutter min haTorah. So why is that? So just one possibility in the Rambam, he says something very interesting, and it's pointed out more at Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer and Evna Azel. Points out, the name of the malach is makav patish. Makav patish means hitting with the hammer. Now, everyone who learns anything about Hilchos Shabbos assumes Makav HaPatish means doing the last blow, the last bit of work, finishing a kli. Anything that finishes a kli is chayav from Makav HaPatish. So everyone knows that, and everyone knows that, maybe, and it's a Gemara. The Gemara in Chal Gadol says that anything that's Gemara Malacha, anything that finishes a product, is chayav from Makav HaPatish. However, this is Zalman points out, the words of the malacha is called makav patish, hitting with a hammer. So this is Alan points out in the Rambam, he says clearly the av malacha is ha makav patish ha ka achas chayev. The Rambam just says if you strike something with a hammer, you're chayev. So the Rambam, the Evan Ezel points out, it's clear makav patish be'etzem means hitting with a hammer. And then the Rambam tells us the toldo of the malacha, I mean, not the malacha itself, but a derivative of the malacha is anything that's gemar malacha. Anything that finishes a product. So, and the pshat is, Rav Yisrael Zalman says, the pshat is that really, makav patish is an act of umnes, something that takes expertise. Something with expertise, that is makav patish. Doing work with a hammer generally is something that requires expertise. The atolda of it is anything that's umistic, anything that's finishing a product is something that is considered a atolda of makav patish. There's a well-known Yerushalmi, it says that Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish spent 3 years classifying all the malachos. Everything that they thought was malach and Shabbos, they found which Av it connects to. And they declared and told of that Av. Any malacha that they couldn't find, didn't fit in with any of the other 38 Avos, they made it a told of Makopatish. And the idea is that the told us, if you look in all the malachos, basically they're all creating a product. Right? Either food, clothing, or shelter. Right? Maybe also svarim. But if you look, all the malachos are those four groups. You're creating a product. At the very end, second to last malach is makab and patish, that it's not making anything. It's not part of building. It's a separate malach. Makab and patish is that it's not focusing on the product. It's that you're doing an omnistic act. It's something that takes skill. So, l'chor the pshat is when you replace the door, just putting on a door, anyone could assemble that. You just assemble a door. You just stick it into the grooves. But when you're doing it with taka, you're doing it with nails and with expertise and hanging a door with hinges. So that's really a makom patish. So that's what Rashi says. Now with Rashi, it comes out that since it's makom patish and it's not bona, that you're only chayiv if you do it with tekiah, you do it with a hammer, banging your nails. And secondly, since it's makom patish and it's not bona, you're only chayiv for attaching the door, you're not chayiv for pulling off the door. Removing the door, you're not chayiv. Right? By bona, if it's bona, something that's bona, it comes along with soser. If you build, undoing the building is also malacha. Right? Like if you write, kosev comes along with mochek. And tov for sewing comes along with korea, ripping. But makav patish, so it only goes one way. And if you make a violin, it's makav patish. You've done an umnus. If you break a violin, that's nothing. That's nothing at all, because there's no umnus in breaking a violin. Right? So it's not so it's nothing. Therefore, Rashi goes very nice. Rashi says that there's no problem pulling off the doors. Now this is how Rashi seems to explain also a very important halacha. There's a Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Chavis, which we might get to this year. And Perek Chavis starts with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shover Adam Esachavis Lechel Memenu Grogros. A person is allowed to break a barrel in order to get the food inside. When you have a barrel that's sealed, so you let it smash it open. L'chadchila, you can smash it open. Why you let it smash open a barrel? So Rashi says there, he says, She'ein bo shum isur Shabbos. This is no isur Shabbos. Right? We all think that's got to be isur Shabbos. How could that be mutter? But the Mishnah says it's mutter. And it's mutter, Rashi says. There's no malacha. It's not a malacha. Right? Malachas are it's not that sort of action. It's simply mutter. Right? Meaning it's something that's, Torah never asked for such a thing. Right, and the Hesber is, right? The Hesber is demolishing a building, the Torah asks it. You demolish a building, so now you have a piece of empty land. You can use that land, you can build on the land. Right? So Sram Nas Livnos. Or even if you just want to use the land as a farm, a Lamaisa, there's something constructive in demolition. But demolishing a Kli, that's an act of destruction, and that's not a Malach and Shabbos, and therefore it's Mutter. That's what Rashi says, it's Mutter. So Tosus was cholik. Tosus is cholik on this. Tosus writes a Dafkav Beis. So he quotes as a Gemara there in Dafkav Beis that seems to go directly against Rashi. The Gemara there is talking about assembling a shovel, connecting the shovel to the handle, putting it together. And the Gemara says you put the two pieces together and you're chayiv. What are you chayiv for? So Rav says you're chayiv mishum bona. Says the Feish, you're chayiv mishum bona. Shmuel says you're chayiv mishum makom patish. So Rashi is very good in Shmuel, but what about Rav? So it says, what about Rav? Usually we would expect Allah to follow Rav. Rav against Shmuel. In Mamres we go like Shmuel, but in other things we go like Rav. So Tosus says you see it's chayiv mishum bonus. It's not makom patish. So Rashi would have to say that in a chinami there's an interesting sheet of Rav that you could be chayiv on a kli. But our sugi is clear, and the steam of Sagamar is clear, that we seem to go with Shmuel. Because our Gemara just says that there's no problem of binyan and stira in attaching and detaching a door. So apparently we don't go like Rav. So okay, in Echanami, Rav says building a kli is bo now, but we don't go by that. And therefore Rashi says here and says in Klal Gadol that ain't binyan b'kelim is b'chlal. Even if you build a kli, you're not over anything to do with boner. So Tosus though wasn't happy with that. He says the halacha follow Rav, and he says no, there really is binyan steer with kelim. He says, what does the Gemara mean when it says ain't been in the steer of the kalim? It doesn't really mean it. Really have been in the steer of kalim too. It just meant to say that by karka we're more machmer by what we define as bona. By karka, since it's attached to the ground, so even if you are bona without any without a real attachment, without being permanently attached, you can still be chayev for bona. I mean, if I build a fence, I get stones together, I build a wall, and I don't cement them together. So afal pikein, you're going to be chayim shambona, because this is a wall and it's connected to the ground. It's a permanent structure. It's defined as a permanent chashav act. Right? You can find, you go into any forest, you can often find walls from the 1600 that are just built with stones. But a kli, if you want a kli to be considered a building, it takes more. Right, a kli that moves around, it's not in a permanent set place. For it to be considered a building, you have to do something that's a permanent type of attachment. It has to be, it can't be something that could just be pulled apart. And therefore, Tosus explains our Gemara differently than Rashi. He says, you're allowed to put on and put back the door because we're talking a door that snaps into place. But if you put it on with nails, so now it's permanently in place, so that taka is bona. So it really is been in b'kelim. Oh, so that's the sheet of Tosus, that there is binyan b'kelim. It's just a little bit hard to classify as binyan, but that's an is binyan b'kelim. Now Tosus also addresses the Mishnah and Chavis on Kaf Mem Vav. Tosus says, what on earth is the Mishnah telling you? How can you possibly be allowed to break open a barrel? Break open a barrel, that's Soser. He says there's binyan by kelim, and so there's Soser by kelim. So he says, no, it's not true. Tosus says you cannot break open a barrel to get the food inside. So what's the Gemara talk? What's Mishnah talking about? He says it was talking about a particular type of barrel. Okay, this is a move. He calls it a chavis mustiki, a word that the Gemara uses elsewhere, to mean it's a weak type of barrel. It's not the regular type of barrel that you use as a good storage. It's a very shvacha type of barrel that you just use like in a temporary way to hold things in. And therefore, you're allowed to break it, because it's such a weak kli, it's not a real kli. I mean, just like Tosus said by Kalim, it has to be a strong type of a binyan. So therefore, this is a weak type of a chavis. That's Tosus Teretz. Okay, it's Dach Teretz, right? But that's what we say. And therefore, Tosus, if a kli is a strong kli, you're not able to open that even to get the food out of it on Shabbos. That's Jesus Tosus. As a third shita, the Rambam is a little bit like Tosus, but a little bit different. The Tosus is a little bit shver, right? Because in Tosus, first of all, it's very dachik in the lashon of ain't been in the steer of the kelim. Right? You really say there is been in the steer, it's just it needs a little more strength and permanence by kelim. The second of all, it's definitely strange how the Tosus is Chiddush, that the barrel we're talking about is a specific type of barrel, and it's pretty misleading. The Mishnah just says a barrel. You're allowed to break open a barrel. All right, so that's shver. The Rambam, see, he has a different shita. It's an interesting shita. He says like Tosus, he passes like Rav. He says putting back a door on Shabbos, if you reconnect the door with nails onto the cabinet, you're chayv shembona. He says, like Rav, that if you assemble a shovel on Shabbos, you're chayv shembona. But it's a little bit different, because the Rambam, when he talks about what bona is, what the av melacha is, the Rambam is very explicit, it's only on karka. Ain't been v'stir v'kelem. He says the av, the bona, building, that's only on karka. And that's what's called the av melacha, the actual melacha of bona is only on karka. And he's very straight about that. And by karka, it's any making any change in karka. He says flattening out ground, or making a hole in ground, or building on the ground, making a wall on the ground, that's all chayev b'shem bona. By Caleb, there's no bona. He says, but there's a tolda of bona. And the tolda of bona is any connecting things together in a permanent way is a tolda of bona. I mean, it's not the bona itself, but it's a similar to melacha to bona that's classified in the class of bona. They classify, the Rambam also classifies, right next to when he tells you that if you build, assemble a shovel, your chayiv has a tolda of bona. He tells you if you make cheese on Shabbos, your chayiv is shem bona. Because cheese also is similar, is that you're connecting things together. You're connecting whatever exactly it is, the curds together and making them into a block of cheese. That's called bona. So it's not that it is bona, that's an ain't binyan el b'karka. What bona is karka. But there's a tolda, which is connecting things. So that's the Rambam Shita. The Rambam also helps, could be this helps in understanding. The Rambam just says you're allowed to break open a barrel on Shabbos. He doesn't say anything about it has to be a special type of chavis. He just said you're allowed to break open a chavis. So why should that be? So the chavis of Shabbos is that by real bona, the ava bona comes along with sosa. If you build, so is also malacha. By a tolda of bona, it's not as pashat, because the concept of bona is that it comes along with sosa. Right, bona on karka, so clearing land is also a malacha. By a tolda of bona, it's not as pashat should have sosa. I saw one Akron point out that making cheese is bona, but slicing cheese is not sosa. Right, it doesn't necessarily go hand in hand. It doesn't. So, after along those lines, we can explain how you could break open a barrel. It could be the Rambam will go, there's a Ritva, the Ritva on Kuf Mem Vav. He says the reason you're allowed to break a barrel on Shabbos is because it has no sheiches to bona soser al menas livnos. Soser by land, so you break down the house, now you have a new area, a new free piece of land. He says the soser, when you break a barrel, he says there's no sheiches to anything productive. It's not just that it's that you're not planning on building in the place of the barrel. There's nothing to build. Right? You break apart a barrel, and you don't break it apart, and you just smash it, and it's a bunch of pieces on the ground. So there's nothing to help your boner. It doesn't do anything. So therefore, he says that's why it's mutter. Meaning it's what's referred to in post-Gemara is derech hashchasa. Derech hashchasa of a kli, when you just destroy a kli, that's not defined, that there's no shekh to sosa. So even if making a kli would be bona, breaking apart a kli is not sosa. Okay, so that's the three big shitos in the sugya. I'll just say halacha l'maisa maybe, what comes out of this? Right? Believe it or not, this little discussion basically comes most shailos about opening packages on Shabbos. Okay, so a pasha kli, you open it and you destroy it, your bag of potato chips. Right, so if you open it in a way that destroys the bag, so everyone is going to say that that's mutter. Right? Rashi says there's never a problem the first in Soser. Now Tosfos not as clear. So Tosfos, it's not as clear. But we could say that bag is a very flimsy bag, and therefore opening it, perhaps, even Tosfos will agree that will not be b'chal sosa. That could be. Tosfos definitely is more tzad of chumra here. Are we machmer for Tosfos? A tuna fish can. But if you open a tuna fish can, so now Lefi Rashi, there's no problem. Lefi, the ritual we mentioned, so it could be a problem, but if you, like let's say you would open the can and now the can could be used as a little dish, a little bowl. So that'll be a problem, but if you open the can in a way that destroys the can, so now one could argue that destroying that, since you did it in a way that destroys the can, so now it no longer has a shaychus to sosa. Right, that could be. Tosfos is not as clear, right? It can. It's a very stark kli that you're opening here. So maybe there should be a problem of sosa. So it's not as clear. Halacha l'maisa, discussion who we hold. Like the Shulchan Aruch does quote Tosfos. The Shulchan Aruch says anything that's a real kli you can't break open, even to get the food out of it. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gra, and he says we could disregard Tosfos. The Mishnah just says Chavis you could break open. We don't have to start bringing in these chumras. Shlomo Zalman said he thought maybe even a can of tuna fish or a can of soda, maybe you could say, even though it's a very strong metal can, but it's made for one-time use. Right? Maybe Tosfos is proud of the chavis. The chavis is a chash of a kli because you reuse it. In the end of the day, basically modern-day svarim are matter any opening any sort of container if you destroy it. If you open it in a way that you're not left with any product. You don't end up with any sort of kli that can be used. Right? So it's viewed as what the Ritva says, that it's just completely derech hashkasa. You destroyed it. You haven't it's soser with nothing productive. Doesn't have any productive end to it. A big problem is people aren't so aware of. What about cloth? What if you have a cloth bag that has food in it and you want to rip open the cloth bag? So what would the din be then? So that's not so pashut, right? Because we said that the Rashi says, by a kli, there's no bone and there's no soser. So there's no problem breaking apart a kli. But what about a bag, a cloth bag? A cloth bag, so we know a bag, there's an isser of sewing or weaving a bag, and there's also an isser of kareya. So ripping a bag open could theoretically be a problem of Korea. There's a Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is surprisingly isn't quoted so much, but I haven't seen so many svarim that say this halacha. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if you have you get a letter, let's say you got it before Shabbos, but you want to read the letter, it's not muksa. You want to read it, but you have to open up the envelope and rip open the envelope. The Mishnah Berurah writes, if you rip open the envelope, you could be chayav a chatas. Why? He says, because paper is like cloth. Paper's like cloth? Yeah, why would paper be like cloth? Because paper is really fibers that are pressed together into a fabric. It's sort of like a fabric. So the Mishnah Berurah says that it should be treated like cloth. And then Meila, it's an avalach of Korea. So that could be a big chumrah. Just taking that Mishnah Berurah straight, any paper bag would be a problem to rip open on Shabbos. Others are cholek lechazanish in Archaim Simmons Samach Aleph of Katan Beis. The Chazanish is Mekel. He says that no, that here also we could rely on the Ritzvah's Heter Derech Hashchasa, that if you rip open that envelope in a way that it's destroyed, we don't view that as Korea. It's not like Korea, an actual baguette. Okay, paper is a little like a baguette, but it's you know, you never reuse it, you never sew back, you never take a piece of a ripped up envelope and sew it back onto your garment in a constructive way. So that's why the Chazanish, most farms seem to be making with this. But Kedai, no, it's not as pashut because it's not like a kli. By kli, there's no soser, but by paper, maybe there could be an isser of Korea. Okay. Yes, is that okay? So that, yeah.
What about the guys who open their potato chip bags and they like crinkle up the bottom? You ever seen that?
They crinkle up the bottom?
They open like their bag of chips and then they push up the bottom.
They push up the bottom?
Yeah.
Move the chips closer to the opening of the bag.
No, it's almost like a cleat.
Oh, yeah. So the truth is, there's a lot of things that could be a problem. There's a lot of things that could be a problem. We don't have time to talk about everything that could be a problem. Because anytime you're going to use it, like let's say you open an ices, like one of those, what do you call it? The stick ices. What do you call those things?
Freeze pops.
Freeze pops, yeah. A freeze pop. You open the freeze pops. So everyone seems to be okay with this. But it's not partial. Why? Because you open the freeze pop, you're now using the freeze pop as a kli. Maybe you're really using the freeze pop. You're not just destroying. It's not an act just of destroying. So that's not as pashut. It's not as pashut. So that's it's too much to get into. But All I'm saying today is that if you destroy the package, like the chavis, breaking it, you're being so sad, it's not an iser. By cloth, maybe there is an iser. Yeah.
Well, halacha l'maaseh for Shabbos, what do we define as a kli? If every time Shimon Zalman might say about chips, it's not considered a kli because it's a bag. So a freeze pop, a little plastic thing, also.
Right. So that could be. Okay, it's just too much to. Yeah, I have to apologize. It's too long. But for our sugya, I think our end of the sugya. So. That's what's relevant. Okay. Okay. Just talk a little bit about just another sugi here. Sugi of Kuf Chaf Dalet. Back to Muksa. Sorry, Kuf Chaf Gimel. I'm an Aleph. So there's a small sugi here, but it's very chashiv. It talks about the Ali. The Ali is this kli that's used. It's like an anvil. Something that you use to bang different chemical substances that are used in the tanning process. So different things that they use, gallnuts, different sorts of things that are used to make the acids that they use to tan hides, to turn them into leather. So the Gemara seems to say that's muksa, and the Gemara wants to know, why is that muksa? L'chayra, it's just a klisha malachto lesser. It's a kli, and it's just used for something that's utter to do on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Rav was asked about this. First he said he thought that, yes, it's just a kli shel machzor iser. But then Rav says that he heard this memra b'shem Rav, that by Sichi Zairi Mizuri, by these kelim, right? We don't know exactly what they are. One shot is that they're kelim that we use for weaving begadim on them, some sort of a loom type kelim used in a loom. Kalim to kapit alayhu miyachid lehu makom. Since he's makbid on them, the owner's makbid, therefore miyachid lehu makom. He's miyachid a makom for these kalim, this loom, whatever it is. Hachanami, so to hear by Dali, miyachid lehu makom. You're miyachid a makom for Dali, and therefore an Ali is muksa. It's not a klisha malachdal iser, but it's actual muksa. You're not allowed to move it b'chlal for any purpose. Right, except for Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov. But otherwise, you're not allowed to move the Ali, it's Muksa, because you're Miyachid Lei Makom. So the question is what is this talking about? Why is it that being Miyachid Lei Makom makes a din of Muksa? Why is that? And how do we apply this Halach L'maisa? So we'll start with the Pashat, what Rashi says, the way you put on the Gemara, Pashat way, Pashtas. To say that this is telling us a din, that's a well-known din, of what's called Muksa Machlus Chasaron Kes. Now we find on Amud Beis, in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that a Yesed Shel Machresha, part of the plow, Kli is part of a plow, and a Meser HaGadol, this big saw that the lumberjacks use, so those things are considered Muksa. And the Gemara explains on Kuftan Zayin, that they're muksa machmas chesaron kes. It's machmas chesaron kes, a pashat din. Right, they have no use on Shabbos. Kli shel malachdal iser has some use on Shabbos. Or a hammer, you can't hammer nails on Shabbos, but you could open nuts with the hammer on Shabbos. So therefore, it's not muksa on Shabbos. But everything has to have some purpose. If something has no purpose on Shabbos, so it's muksa mamish. As the Gemara asks on Mem Vav, the Gemara asks, according to Rav Shimon, why is muksa machmas mias? If you have a lamp, a sharga de nafta, this lamp that uses neft, and it's like a disgusting thing, it doesn't smell good, and it's used, but you wouldn't use it for many things. You wouldn't drink out of it. You wouldn't use it as a cup. So why isn't it muksa? So the Gemara says it's not muksa because it could be still used as a cover for a bottle. You could still use it as a bottle cover. But it's clear, if something has no use in Shabbos, it's muksa. So Mela, Muksa machmas chesaron kes is something that's very expensive, like this big saw. Apparently, it's a very expensive item, and therefore you wouldn't use it for anything besides for cutting down trees. And therefore, in Shabbos, it has no use, and therefore it's muksa pashut. So look in Rashi. Rashi seems to say that Ali is no different. He says the pshat Ali is that you're machmas on it, you don't want it to get damaged, so therefore you wouldn't use it for anything else, and therefore it's muksa. Rashi is almost the same. He'll kuchav gimel, amar aleph, and amar beis. When he's explaining the Mishnah about the Meser HaGadol, he says the same sort of lashon. You're makbid on it. You want to keep it safe, and therefore it's muksa. They're very partial. So the muksa, to be muksa, it has to be something that's very expensive and fragile, and therefore it has no use in Shabbos. That's what the din is. That's Rashi. So that's a very partial din. The question is that maybe there's something else going on in the Gemara here. Maybe there's something else in this Gemara, because the emphasis is the Gemara is not so clear according to Rashi. We'll see, there's other Shon who are cholik. Because just with the Gemara, just the way it reads, the Gemara doesn't mention anything about Chisaron Kiss. It doesn't say that Li is so expensive, you never use it. It says a different lashon. It says, Kevin to Kapitalayu Miyachel Makam Hachanami by the Li Miyachel Hu Makam. It says you Miyachel a Makam to it. It doesn't mention anything about Chisaron Kiss. The other thing that's peculiar in the Gemara is, if we just mean it's Muxam Achim's Chisaron Kiss, Rabbi says, oh, I thought Ali was Mutter, but then I heard this statement, and I realized, oh, it's Muxam Achim's Chisaron Kiss. It's very strange, because Rabbi sounds like he thought it was Klisham Lachdol Isser. And then he heard a Memra, B'Shem Rav, that they're a Kalim, that they're Miyachim Makim, and therefore they're Muxa, so therefore this is also Muxa. So what is the whole Chiddush to Rabbi? You bring a Memra. He's quoting this statement from Rav Chanina Bar Shalamya about the kalim that are used for weaving. Like, it's the next Mishnah. Just turn the page. There's a Mishnah on the next page that tells you there's something called Muxa Machmas Chisaron Kiss. Anything that's expensive, you wouldn't use on Shabbos. What's he bringing that in? So some Rishonim seem to learn not that way. That the Pshat here is just what it says. It's Miyachid Lahu Makom. The key words here is that Miyachid Makom. I'm Rabbeinu Chananel. I'll just read his lashon. He says, "Kaven to kapurale, mechin alei makom. Since he's makbid, therefore he's mechin a makom. The gomer b'daitel shelo l'taltelo may also makom. He has gemira stas, not to move it from the place." So Rabbeinu Chananel is not just saying you're not going to use it. The point is, it should be that you're not going to use it. He doesn't say that. He says, since you're makbid on it, therefore your gomer das not to move it. Sounds like the reason for the it's muksa is yichur makam, that the yichur makam itself is the siba of the muksa. And Rashi says it's muksa because you're not going to use it. So the fact you don't move it is really irrelevant. It's just like a simen, things that you don't use. So if you don't use it, it probably has a set makam. But the point is, you don't use it. Rabbeinu Chananel saying, what's perhaps closer to the Pashas Lashon HaGemara, is that the Gemira Stas, not to move something, makes it that it's Muksa. Also, why would that be? Why should that make something Muksa? Who cares, you're not going to move it, right? So, but it's not that you're not going to use it, you're not going to move it. That seems to be the point. So, actually, you could say that the Pshat is really what we found in the Mishnah, the first Mishnah called Kalim. It says something a little bit strange. It tells us that the delis of a kli is not muksa. But it says the delis of a bayis is muksa. And the lashon of the Mishnah says, she'ena domim l'delis habayis. Delis of a kli, the cabinet door, is not muksa. Because it's not domim to delis habayis, but fi she'eno min amuchan. The door of the house is not min amuchan. So what exactly does the Mishnah mean? A door is used. Use the door. I always use my door. Every door is used. Why is it not mochan? So the pshat is, l'chayra, is that it's mochan, but it's not mochan to be metaltel it, to move it. At the Rambam, in Perek Chaf Hei, he says, l'osos habayis, afal pishen kelim, they are kelim, but lo huchanu l'taltel, they're not mochan l'taltel. Chayra, the pshat is that mochan means, right, we mentioned last week the Rambam, who says that even the muksa of tiltel is based on vehechinu. You need a hachana l'tiltel, that this is something that's mukhan to be metaltelet. Something you might use it a lot, but if you never move it, so and you plan with gemira stas never to move it, that's not a kli l'tiltel. It's not that it's not used. It's that you don't move it. You find this also, this idea comes up on Daf Memhei. On Memhei you find even more extreme than this. Rabbi and Rav Yosef, they claim that a menorah meaning a lamp that wasn't lit on Shabbos, hasn't been used in weeks, but stamped the menorah sitting in your dining room, so it's muksa. And the Gemara says, "Hol va'adam kovel la makom." because people, a person is koveh makom fret, right? Your lamp, your chandelier, it doesn't move around. You keep it in the middle of the room where it is. You don't move it, and therefore they say it was muksan. So the Gemara says there Abaye asked the kasha on them. Abaye says, you really mean that anything you don't move is muksa? So it says, what about akilas chasanim? Akilas chasanim is some sort of a canopy bed, a canopy over a bed. So I don't know exactly why he picked on that, but he says, a canopy over the bed, Abaye has a raya that's not muksa. And he says, you see from this, that even things that have a set place, they're still not muksa. Right? So therefore, the kalim, even if they have a set place, doesn't make them muksa. But Rabbi and Rav Yosef, they didn't think that way. They thought that anything that has a set place is muksa. So Tosfos there says that the halacha is, out of that sugya, is that Einachinami, we don't call it Rabbi and Rav Yosef, and we assume that a menorah is not muksa. It's a klisha melachta l'eser, but it's not muksa. And Tosfos says, why? It says, because it's not a gmar das not to move it. Practically, you don't move it. But he says, it's not like the Ali. Tosfos is going along with Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, it's not like the Ali in Kol HaKelim, because there was a gmar das not to move it. Meaning something that your gomer das, I bedafka want never to move it, so that is going to be muksa. But something like your couch, you don't generally move your couch. It's a big, it's a heavy thing. You like it where it is. You thought about where you should put it, and you put it there. But lamaisa, you're okay moving it. You don't have like a lot there. But something that you would have to want not to move, so mamela, that's going to be muksa. Okay, so basically we're saying there's two types of, like in this class of Kisaron Kis, so things that are expensive or that. There's only two parts of it. There's one thing that's muksa because you're not going to use it. There's another thing that's muksa because you're not going to move it. You don't want to move it. The emes is, b'chlal, and what, to make something mutter v'tiltel, you need two things. Every object that's not muksa has to have two requirements. So one thing is that it has to have a use. Right at Daf Yom Vav, it talks about this shagad and nefta. It says it's not muksa because it has a use. You can use it to cover a kli. It has a use. The Gemara says if all you need to be mutter v'tiltel is that it has a use, so the Gemara says why aren't rocks muksa? Rocks you could also use as a bottle cap. So it says kol tzrol shabachatzer. All the rocks around, they should be muksa because you could use them as a bottle cap. So the Gemara answers no, they don't have a Torah's kli because you weren't making them for use. Right, so there's two things that are needed. You have to be making the object that this is a kli that's mochon the tiltel. This is a kli, meaning something I carry around. And the other thing is it has to have a use. So a very expensive, let's say a very expensive camera that is carried. It's an object that you carry around, but it's so expensive, you would never use it as a bottle cap. Right, I'm saying camera because used to, like today, maybe they don't have cameras like that. But it used to be a camera was an expensive object. Right, so that's one type of muksa. The other type of muksa is something, in a chenami, you'll use it. You might use it, but it's an object that you use, but you don't move it. If you don't move it, so memela doesn't have a din of a kli l'tiltel. So just one din in Mishnah Brura that comes out of this. The Mishnah Brura spoke about something, about what it calls, a sha'on kir, a wall clock. I don't know exactly what he had in mind, but like, you know, they sell those big, like, grandfather box. He says it's muksa, you should treat it as muksa on Shabbos. So the Chazar says, why is that muksa? So he says, I'll just read the Chazar, this is Lashon, it's a nice Lashon. He says, Kol shekoven lo makam lo chashav kli l'tiltel. It's not a kli l'tiltel. Your couch will move, but this clock is the sort of thing. You know, a chash of a clock. You wouldn't move it. You wouldn't move it. So mela, it's muksa. Other things are also like that. I saw the Sefer Shlosh Yitzchak, quotes from Shlomo Zalman, that anything that you wouldn't move, it's not just that it's heavy, so you don't usually move it, but you really don't want to move it. Right? You know, like if you have a bookshelf, right? And you don't like moving bookshelves, because you move a bookshelf, it might break. So it might break, but you use the bookshelf, but you don't want to move it. You're like, but the Africans don't want it to move. So Mamela, that would be muksa. I just maybe we'll say one last, just because it's so halacha l'maisa. We're seeing very halacha l'maisa today, so maybe I'll just say, just say, because it relates to our Gemara, then we might want to move on to the next step. What about blank pieces of paper? There's a big shayla, blank pieces of paper, are those muksa? So the Magen Rebbe says it's muksa, or shabrura, or mosha, they all say a blank piece of paper is muksa. Now why on earth should it be muksa? The Magen Rebbe says it's muksa machmas chesaron kes. Muksa machmas chesaron kes. Okay, so just wrap your head around that. Why on earth paper, what's cheaper than paper? A penny, a slice? How's it muksa machmas chesaron kes? So the concept, I don't know, paper used to be more expensive. I don't think it was ever particularly expensive. But muksa machmas chesaron kes is because you wouldn't want to use paper for something else because you use paper for writing on. You can't write on Shabbos. You wouldn't want to use it as a bottle cap because it's, because if so, then you can't write on it. It's hard to hear, right? A little hard to hear. And so Rav Vassar says he doesn't think it should apply if this man has that. It's interesting. Like there's a little bit of a svar to say that. Yeah, maybe it's not expensive like a camera, but like who wants to waste it, right? If you use a piece of paper as a bottle cap, you're not going to be able to write on it. That's true. That much is true. Right, the shraga, the nefta, if you use it as a bottle cap, you can still use it as a shraga. Piece of paper, you're going to ruin the paper. Paper gets ruined easily. Okay, so maybe that's as far. It's not pashut. I want to tell you that's not so pashut. I'll just tell you a little bit of right against it. The Gemara Memhei talks about Patsile Tamarim. It talks about unripe dates. That you really want to save them till they're ripe. But you can eat them, but you can eat them now. So the Gemara says they're not muksa. So why aren't they muksa? So the way it explains, okay, you don't want to eat it now, but sometimes, you know, you want to be efficient, but sometimes you can't be efficient. Sometimes you don't have the luxury to be efficient. You don't have anything else, you'll eat these things, right? So that makes things not muksa. Right? So I would have thought paper, okay, I want to use paper to write on, but if I need a placemat, I'll use a piece of paper. Right? Even I, right? I'm not a wealthy person, but to use a piece of paper as a placemat, I don't, you know, that doesn't give me heartache. So it's a little bit hard to hear. So I saw something else, and gets back to what we've been talking about today, is I saw this Yitzhak, he said something else. He said, no, it's not, it is Muksamachmas Chesaron Kis. But not, it's not Muksamachmas Chesaron Kis. The problem is not because it's expensive. The problem is it's Bachal not a Kli. He says it doesn't have Torah's Kli. Why isn't it Torah's Kli? So he says something different. He says the pshat of this is because paper is there to be written on. After you write on a piece of paper, now you have a product. But until you write on it, you don't have any product. Right? Can you hear that? It's like an unfinished product. To be, it has to be a finished product. To be something that's paper, you don't use paper. It's okay. So I don't know. So I thought about it. First I liked it. Then I went to Argamar on Kavchav Gimel, and I don't like it anymore. Yeah, and I don't have anything Kavchav Gimel about this. So my problem was that the Gemara on Kavchav Gimel talks about needles. It says if you have a needle, and they mean to put holes in the needle. But the fact that we made the needles, they didn't get around to putting holes in it. So the Gemara says, L'gabe tumas, not a kli, because it's called a golmi kli. It's an unfinished product. Well, L'gabe muksa, the Gemara says, it's still not muksa, because you could change your mind and decide I'm going to use it as a kli the way it is. Right? Remember the Gemara? Kuf Kuf Gimel, I'm going to Aleph at that. It says, Zimna Mimlach Alei, and therefore it's a Kli. Sometimes you say, okay, yeah, I'm going to use this as a pin, I'm not going to use it as a needle. So the same thing should apply by paper. The same paper, in a chinami, usually used for writing, but sometimes you decide to use it as a placement. So I thought, just a little mice on that, is that the minig is very strong to consider paper as muksa. But there's definitely room to be mekel. Rav Buzner says, you know, it's something that you don't have to be so careful about because it's probably not really muksa. I mean, there's no really totally clear defense why it should be muksa. The Maestro Magen Avraham said it's muksa. You could just say that times changed a little bit from the Magen Avraham's time. It sounds good. Ravazir, basically, he's Mekel. He also didn't say Mekel, so that's what I'm not saying. He says you don't have to be Makron on a Kolka. You don't have to worry about it so much. So I don't know what that is. He didn't want to straight out just go against the Magna Fram. Okay. All right. Shkayach. Shkayach Ravaisa.